the troopers. It took four of them to restrain the heavy-shouldered security chief, one for each arm. Then they beat him. This was justice in the Empire. When the stormtroopers parted, Hera saw Gord crawling back toward Moonglow's gate. She blinked away a tear of anger. Yes, she needed to see these things, to remind her what she was fighting for. Hera squinted to see through the smoky darkness where Vidian had gone. She spotted him and Sloane in intense discussion, heading between a line of flanking stormtroopers on the way toward... No, Kanan's not going to like that. Are you kidding me? Having finished his search and joined Hera on the roof, Kanan stared down at the empty spot on the street. I can't believe this! They stole the hover bus! I think they call it commandeering on official business, Hera said, crouching at the roof edge and pointing east. Kanan saw the outline of the hover bus bobbing far up the lane. I'm sure they're headed to the Imperial spaceport to get another shuttle. Kanan frowned. Phew. Well, wait until they find the bathroom doors stuck. He flicked wet ashes from his tunic. He'd found Draka pinned behind his freezer unit. It had taken long minutes to extricate him. Then the cook had stormed out, intent on giving the Imperials a piece of his mind about his destroyed business. Kanan could see from his position that the conversation wasn't going very well, but he had his own problems. The spaceport's in high ground. How am I supposed to get over there? It was 10 kilometers away.
I'm more interested in getting out of here, Hera said, rising. An attempt's been made on an envoy of the Emperor. Everyone's a suspect. We've got to get out of this neighborhood before half the Empire shows up.
She turned away from the street side of the roof.
Maybe back down those alleys to the south?
It's Okadiah's bus, Kanan said. I can't just forget about it.
This was the whole problem with making friends, he did not say. They made it impossible to be truly free. He looked back across Broken Boulevard, now a more descriptive term than usual, and saw a lumbering gray hover truck departing Moonglow's loading dock.
Hey, wait, he said, grabbing Hera's wrist before she could leave. I think we can solve both problems at once.
He pointed to the vehicle.
That's full of refined thorolite.
Even trespass, murder, and sabotage couldn't stop thorolite production, it seemed. Every 6 minutes, another one of the transports departed the plant.
It's headed
straight to the Imperial spaceport, Hera said. I caught that on my reconnoiter yesterday.
Their eyes met,
and a heartbeat later they were running along the rooftops.
Hera was as fast as she was lithe, hurtling obstacles and leaping one gap after another. Every so often she looked back to see if Kanan was keeping up.
I'm fine, he said, keeping a few steps back. Just trying not to run into you.
She smiled and leapt the next opening. He followed suit. Reaching the end of the row of flats, they found a door and scrambled down a staircase. Catching their breaths in the doorway, they stopped in time to see the hover truck move up the street toward them. A stormtrooper waved the vehicle and its golden chauffeur droid past. As soon as the stormtrooper turned his head, Kanan and Hera bolted toward the approaching truck. Kanan leapt to the running board of the passenger side.
I am sorry, the droid said. Riders are not allowed on the...
Hera, now hanging outside the other door, flicked a switch on the droid's neck, shutting him off. Kanan scrambled inside the cab, grabbed for the control yoke, and ducked. The vehicle executed a wide left turn past the last stormtrooper checkpoint. The sentry never saw the woman hanging outside. Adroitly, Hera opened the door and bumped the robot out of the way.
I prefer driving, she said, reaching for the controls. Nothing against you.
Kanan closed the passenger door and stretched his legs.
Sweetheart, you can drive me anywhere.
He glanced back at the mess Shaketown had become.
As long as it's away from here. Hera had been scarcely more talkative than the deactivated droid, Kanan thought. She'd said nothing about what had gone on in the plant before she'd found Lal. He didn't know Lal's husband well, other than that he had a short fuse and a big blaster collection. And something else.
That guy lived for Lal, he said.
I could tell. It was rough.
Watching her, Kanan thought that must be an understatement.
Well, you found out one thing about Vidian.
He's evil in a can.
Being evil doesn't stop you with the Empire. It helps.
She sighed.
I didn't even get near him this time. But I guess I found out what I came to Gorse to learn. The secret to Denetrius Vidian's efficiency is murder.
And where does that get you?
Nowhere I wasn't before.
She shook her head.
And all I was able to find out about Tharsa was that he'd visited there a few times a long time ago. I couldn't find out anything else. First Gord showed up, then they all started running around looking for Skelly.
Guiding the hover truck around a corner, she sighed.
I don't know what Skelly thinks he can accomplish this way. This loose cannon stuff, it doesn't get you anywhere.
And where are you trying to get?
He looked at her keenly.
I thought you were going to ditch me after you did your little break-in. And you just said your big mission is done. But here you are.
She rolled her eyes.
I'm helping you get your hover bus back.
Kanan chuckled.
No. It's the least I can do,
Hera said.
You were willing to come back inside, looking for me. Unnecessary and nearly trouble for you, but appreciated.
Well, you're the only person on this planet I'd take that chance for.
That should tell her something, he thought.
Not sure I believe that. You went back to help that Besselis cook, and Okadiah told me back in the bus about you saving him from Vidian.
She smiled.
You even saved Skelly at the cantina.
He put up his hands.
Hey, everyone makes mistakes.
Well, we'll see,
she said, and left it at that. Kanan liked the look he saw from her. It said she'd come to think he was worth keeping an eye on. Looking out at the buildings whizzing by, Kanan laughed.
Everything that goes into Thorolite, all the security. And here we've just driven off with a truckload.
We're taking it right where it's supposed to go, she said. And it's not like we'd find anyone to sell it to.
Kanan shook his head.
You know, I don't even know what the junk is used for.
Thorolite? Hera asked. It's used in granular solid-state shock absorption. They use it on Star Destroyers to keep turbolaser turrets in place after firing.
Loose cannons again? Kanan chortled. They're going to this much trouble for it?
They've got a lot of cannons.
Hera's eyes widened as she considered it.
A Star Destroyer requires the use of 16 million individual components, 27,000 of which are only produced in a single system, like Gorse.
She looked at him, her face animated with passion.
That's why the Emperor needs an Empire, Kanan. It's like a space slug, whose only function is to stay alive. It's got to consume, and consume, and consume.
You're starting to sound like Skelly.
He's not all wrong,
she said, guiding the hover truck into high ground.
But he's definitely not all right.
Skelly had taken the speeder bike over rooftops to reach high ground, flying low over their surfaces to avoid any tracking of air traffic. With most of the Imperial attention on getting police vehicles to Shaketown, Skelly had guessed that relatively little attention was being paid to the landing fields. Even so, he knew he couldn't simply fly the bike over the retaining wall. And he was reluctant to dismount because every step he took off the bike caused him pain. But now, in the dark at the far eastern end of the compound, his war experience subverting barricades served him again.
He'd seen during flights to Cinda that the terrain at high ground had deep drainage ditches leading off to the low side of the compound. It was there, outside the wall in the darkness, that he found a culvert large enough to accommodate both him and the speeder bike. The bars guarding the pipe were no match for the variety of explosives he carried in his pack. It amused him that the same techniques he'd used to mine Cinda for the Empire were now getting him onto its base. A few muffled blasts later, he was hunched painfully low against the spine of the speeder bike, letting it carry him and his bag of revenge through the tunnel. Inside the compound, he continued to fly the vehicle low through the drainage canal separating the landing areas. The lights here all pointed upward. If anyone had bothered to look down, the sight of his head poking out of the ground and gently sailing along might have given someone pause. But no one saw. Now in the shadow of the spaceport's control tower, he waited, patting at his swollen face with swabs from the medpack. He watched the ground transport arrival area, where every few minutes another droid-driven hovercraft appeared bearing Thorolide for the waiting Imperial freighters. This spaceport was it, he thought. The last step before the beauty of Cinda, crushed down and refined, left for Calcaron Depot and distribution to all the Empire's insane shipbuilding projects. It made Skelly sick to see it. Time passed. For a minute, he worried that he'd gambled wrong. He'd assumed that Vidian, having lost one ride off-world, would come here next. But shortly, the gate opened to allow in Okadiah's hover bus. Skelly blinked when he saw it. What was it doing here? Then he saw a group of stormtroopers exit it, followed by Vidian and the Imperial captain. No wonder he had beaten them here, he thought. It would take a genius of a pilot to get the smooth ride to beat a determined person on a speeder bike. He felt his ribs shifting painfully as he huddled back against the outer wall of the control tower. Skelly was running on adrenaline now, his own, and stimulus shots from the medpack. But he was undaunted. He'd missed Vidian before. He wouldn't do it again. Chapter 28. Count Vidian looked up past the control tower. Cudgel was descending from space, dispatched from the Star Destroyer to return him to orbit. He didn't want to waste another moment on course. Staying on the planet was unnecessary to his plans. And now his plans had changed. He didn't have time for the people of Gorse to shuttle back and forth, mining their moon. Even his most extreme notions, erecting dormitories on Cinda and forcing laborers to move there, would take too long. But he now was looking at another alternative, provided by the strangest source imaginable. Skelly was deranged, just another shell-shocked Clone Wars veteran. But a quick look at the material suggested that he might have stumbled onto something useful. Vidian would need to consult with his staff and Ultimatum's experts to be sure. The commandeered hoverbus was the least efficient means of reaching the spaceport he could imagine. Even Sloan's surviving shuttle flight crew hadn't been able to get it more than a meter off the ground. But he'd used the time well, explaining to Sloan his intentions. She'd reacted to his plans with caution, characteristic of the Navy. He hadn't been able to find an iota of imagination in the entire service. Still, Sloan was young and ambitious, and even now she was suggesting solutions.
The stores on Ultimatum should have what you need, my lord. There's no need to involve anyone on Gorse.
Excellent!
The gate swung wide to admit the Thorolite hover truck. The droid, reactivated but muted to prevent its nattering on about its dislike of hitchhikers, guided the vehicle inside as it was programmed to do. No sentry saw Hera and Kanan duck down as they were. Within moments, the big vehicle was in the parking area, queued to have its cargo placed on the freighters beyond. Poking his head up,
Kanan saw that the line would shortly bring them alongside the parked hover bus. That was a relief. He figured he was due to catch a break. As he dropped back down next to Hera, he chuckled.
It's always an adventure with you, huh?
Hera smiled.
Yeah, and we're just going to pick up your ride.
I'm carrying Okadiah's chauffeur license. I should be able to just drive back out, Kanan said. I don't think I could have just walked up and asked them for it without them wasting my time again. And I've got places to...
Seeing her expressionless face, he stopped.
Wait, Kanan said. You didn't come here with me because you wanted to chat or save me from impound hassles. You're going to go sneaking around checking on Vidian some more.
Hera responded with a gentle smile.
This is ridiculous.
He pointed back through the windshield at the Imperial shuttle settling in for a landing.
Vidian's leaving. What more do you need to know?
Something brought him here, she said. And something's making him leave early.
Try Skelly and his bomb.
Hera shook her head.
That's not it, Kanan. I saw him through the electrobinoculars as he was leaving. He's different. Something's changed. He's got a new mission.
How do you read the expression of a human droid?
Ugh. Kanan looked to the floor in aggravation as the vehicle shuddered to a stop. Hera's was the old Jedi way of doing things, he remembered. Master Balaba, or Obi-Wan, or someone would get an idea in their heads and chase it all over creation, hiding in closets and creeping around ventilation shafts, spying. Even when there was plainly nothing to see, as here. Kanan sat up cautiously, took a peek outside, and opened the door on the left side of the hover bus. He slipped out onto the gravel surface, shielded from the Imperial's sight by the smooth ride. A moment later, Hera lightly touched the ground behind him.
Look,
he said, turning around to face her in the shadows. The space between the vehicles was narrow, and it brought them close together.
I travel alone, but I think you're fun. And when you're not running off doing something outlandish...
He pointed with his thumb to the hover bus.
I'm going to take this back to Okadiah's, and then I'm heading for the public spaceport. You can come along, or let me hitch a ride on whatever this ship is you say you've got. But I'm done sneaking around here. And I think you should be too.
There wasn't anything else to say. Obi-Wan's warning and the Emperor's wrath had made him hide part of who he was. But he wouldn't live his daily life skulking about just to have a woman's company. Or to support her cause. Any cause. That wasn't who he was. Kanan began working his way along the left side of the hover bus, feeling glad it had doorways on both sides. He'd wait for Vidian to leave, and then get back to his regularly scheduled life. Either Hera would see sense, or she wouldn't. He paused to look back. Hera was at the tail end of the hover bus, trying to peek around at the Imperials. He shook his head.
Guess not, he thought. It's a shame. She was something.
Kanan put his foot on the doorstep and heard shouts from the other side of the vehicle.
Sir, over there!
Alarmed, he looked back at Hera, but she had already turned and was running in his direction.
What is it? Move!
Without a further word, she shoved him into the hover bus. He fell onto the floor, and she on top of him. Pinned, he instantly began to formulate a response about how she couldn't live without him, when he caught a sideways glance of what was outside the door on the right-hand side of the vehicle opposite him, in the direction of the Imperials. Vidian, Sloane, and several stormtroopers were 50 meters away, running away from the Lambda-class shuttle that had just landed. In the moonlight, he could just make out the sight of something being hurled toward it from the shadows of the nearby control tower. For the second time in a little over an hour, the populated side of Gorse saw what seemed to be the light of day as an Imperial shuttle blew apart.
pain and shielded his eyes from the flash, and then held on as the shockwave rocked the smooth ride. When he looked again, he saw debris raining all across the landing field. And then he heard it, as parts of the Lambda slammed against the right fuselage and roof of the hoverbus. As the din subsided, Hera relaxed her hold on Kanan.
I think that's it, she said.
She rose, and he followed. Carefully, they crept out of the right-hand side of the vehicle for a better look. Fiery smoke blotted out the moon, but they could see that Vidian and all his companions, including Sloane, had been flattened by the blast. Some hurled several meters. Vidian was still moving, Kanan saw, but he was definitely reeling. Come on, Kanan said, grabbing Hera's arm.
Yeah, I think so.
They'd already been bystanders to one attack. They wouldn't be able to walk out of another. But before they could reach the doorway, Kanan heard a high, whizzing whine coming at him from behind. The direction of the explosion.
More debris? Now?
It didn't matter. This time, he threw her down, right as a mass of metal screamed just over their heads. Something slammed headlong into the hoverbus, shattering more of its windows. Kanan shielded his and Hera's heads with his arms. When Kanan finally looked up, he saw something that rendered him speechless. It was a speeder bike, the kind Imperial stormtroopers rode. Or part of it. Its long nose had shot through one of the hoverbus windows, halting its flight and effectively impaling the larger vehicle. Outside the hoverbus, hanging upside down from the deeply lodged bike, was Skelly, his right hand holding one of the handlebars in a death grip. He looked as if he'd been through one of Okadiah's blenders, his battered body dangling limply from the frame, and a big backpack hung precariously around his midsection, about to fall. A subsidiary explosion went off in the field behind them, but Kanan could only look at Skelly, dazzled. The bomber opened his eyes and looked back, wearily recognizing him. Skelly said, his face swollen, his mouth bloodied.
Kanan!
What?
The pack! Grab it!
Not thinking, Kanan took it and then looked inside.
It's full of bombs!
Not good,
Hera said, grabbing his arm. Across the field, emergency crews were racing from the control tower to put out the blaze, even as Vidian stood up. Vidian hadn't spotted Kanan and the others yet. There was too much flaming debris between them. But Kanan could see the cyborg's creepy, glowing eyes as he scanned the area. Fresh stormtroopers ran to the blast scene from the control tower, and several of Vidian's companions rose, looking for their weapons. Overhead, a siren blared, and the ground was suddenly awash with searchlights cutting through the smoke.
There! At the hoverbus!
Vidian yelled, his voice artificially amplified to its loudest level. Kanan turned toward the door of the long hoverbus, 3 meters away, only to see a blaster shot strike just outside the doorframe. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see at least a dozen stormtroopers taking positions behind pieces of the wreckage. No one had a bead on him yet, but the vehicle was another story. Hera knew it too. Like him, she was facing the hoverbus, but while she had her hand on her blaster, she hadn't drawn it. She shook her head at him.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Story of my life, Kanan thought.
In a nearly autonomic reaction, he let the bag with Skelly's explosive slip from his hands and to the ground. Nothing exploded, which he almost thought was a shame.
Put your hands behind your heads,
came Vidian's amplified call from behind. Above and to Kanan's left, Skelly slipped off the bike, his hand finally having given out. He landed with a thud on the gravel.
Skelly, I'm going to die,
Kanan said, glaring down at the man on the ground.
But I'm going to kill you first.
Chapter 29. When the other guy brought an army,
It was best not to argue. Kanan kept his face toward the hover bus. He could hear blasters being prepared, with more stormtroopers starting to move from cover to cover, working their way across the airfield. Hera hadn't budged either, but he could see her thinking. With the smoke blotting out the moon, the Imperials hadn't seen either of their faces clearly yet. But that would change when he turned to run, or fight. And the latter option seemed impossible. They hadn't taken a shot at an Imperial in all the day's chaos, and he didn't want to start now. The odds were just too long. Skelly sat a meter or so away from the bag, eyeing it. Vidian, with his sharp eyes, noticed.
Don't touch it!
Kanan glanced again at Hera.
It was a good run, he said to himself.
He started to put his hands behind his head.
Put down your weapons!
Called out another voice from behind into Kanan's right.
We're not holding any!
Kanan yelled.
I didn't mean you!
For a moment, the voice seemed strangely familiar to Kanan, until he realized it was familiar. Kanan and Hera looked to the right to see Gord walking purposefully from the direction of the cargo intake facility.
I'm here for Vidian.
The bulky security chief was bruised, Kanan saw. Hera had told him about Gord's earlier beating. The Besalisk was also armed to the teeth, prepared to deal death with all four hands. He had come the same way they had, Kanan realized, on one of the other Thorlide transports. He'd never seen the security chief looking so serious or threatening.
Count Vidian? My name is Gord Grolic, security chief for Moonglow. You are under arrest for the murder of our supervisor and my wife!
On whose authority?
That was Sloane. She sounded stunned.
Mine. Gor City has a jail. You'll be treated fairly. More fairly than you deserve.
Enough of this!
Vidian yelled.
Blast him!
Gord shot first, and second, and third. Moving with startling speed, the Besalisk peppered the stormtroopers with blaster fire. The Imperials' defensive positions protected them against the hoverbus, but not against anyone coming from his angle off to their right. Before anyone fired a shot in return, Gord hurled something with his fourth hand. A sonic grenade. It detonated amid the group of stormtroopers nearest him, emitting a shriek that sent them reeling. Hera, pulling her hands from behind her head, looked at Kanan.
Are we thinking the same thing?
Kanan nodded.
Run!
They began to move toward the hover bus, only to both hit the ground as attentive stormtroopers fired again at the doorway. As crimson shots struck the gravel ahead of them, Kanan scrambled for the only cover they could find, a chunk of the Imperial shuttle's sublight ion engine, which earlier had hit the hoverbus roof and rolled off.
Time to join the party,
Hera said, whipping out her blaster. She leaned over the metallic barrier, took quick aim, and fired. One of the snipers stopped shooting at the hoverbus. Kanan looked at her and drew his weapon. He'd done his best to avoid such situations, but this jam wouldn't let go of him, no matter what.
Fine, then.
Let's dance!
Kanan fired. Off to the north, Gord was still letting it rip, somehow shrugging off a glancing shot to his left leg. Hera and Kanan supplied him with crossfire, driving the Imperials to move Vidian and Sloane back to a more protected position. Continuing to shoot, Kanan grew concerned about being outflanked on his right or attacked from behind. Things looked all clear to the south, he saw, and behind him, the hover bus was moving. Kanan's eyes darted to the ground, where Skelly had lain. The bag with the bombs was gone. He nudged Hera.
The bus! It's being stolen again!
Imperial blaster shots glancing off it ineffectually, the hover bus rose a meter into the air, and then slammed into the ground again, nearly tipping over.
A mechanical groan sounded above the gunfire, and the vessel lifted once more.
But only part of it. One back corner steadfastly refused to lift.
and the long vehicle dragged it across the ground as it tried to accelerate.
Hera squinted back through the dust.
Is that Skelly driving?
Kanan yelled back. I wouldn't call it that.
Skelly was trying, probably with one hand, and certainly in a mad panic, to make the smooth ride fly. Something Kanan knew it couldn't do anymore. But at least the vehicle was taking the fire that had been meant for them.
All at once, the rear corner of the hovercraft yanked free from the ground. In response, the rest of it lurched, starting a wild sideways swing in their direction. Kanan yelled, "Look out!" He and Hera went flat as 10,000 kilograms of metal careened just over their heads, grinding and snapping away the debris that had been their cover. Kanan raised his head to see Gord making a running charge across the open ground toward the Imperials. Wild-eyed and completely heedless of the hoverbus, now dipping low as it swung widely in an arc toward him.
Gord, look out!
There was no way for the Besselisk to hear him in the chaos. The spinning bus swept through Gord's position, knocking him off balance and causing him to lose two of his blasters. Gord scrambled for them, only to take a glancing blaster shot to the chest. That provided the opportunity Vidian needed. He leapt from cover toward Gord. The dazed Besselisk raised his meaty arms, ready to put up a struggle. But Vidian charged forward, knocking his attacker to the ground. Kanan had no shot. He winced as he saw Vidian raise his fists and lower them again and again. But before he could think again about the security chief's fate, the wayward hoverbus completed another revolution and was heading back for him and Hera. She saw it too, and was already on her feet, holstering her blaster. Come on! Heedless of the blaster bolts coming his way, Kanan bolted from the ground and followed. The smooth ride yawed wildly toward them with more altitude than it had before. Hera made a running leap for its underside. Kanan followed a second later. Hera was rewarded for acting first. She had hold of one of the support struts that made up the hoverbus's chassis. Kanan, meanwhile, had only managed to hook his right hand around one of the rings attached to the rear turbofan, putting him right in the path of the straining engine's exhaust. The hovercraft pitched and fell again, nearly scraping the hangers-on away against a horizontal obstacle. Kanan realized only afterward that it was the outer wall of the Imperial spaceport. They were on their way. Somewhere. From behind the chunk of shuttle wing she'd been using for cover, Sloan watched in stupefaction as the lumbering metal machine improbably crested the permacrete barrier. Her comlink was already in her hand.
Everyone after that thing, now!
Climbing up from behind the twisted wedge of metal, she dashed toward her charge.
Count Vidian! Count Vidian!
Yelling is unnecessary.
His voice filled her with relief, for a change. But just for a moment, Vidian rose from the corpse of the Besselisk, his regal outfit bloodied and torn.
I live, no thanks to your forces. Another bomb, and now these attackers? You call this security?
Sloane fought the impulse to argue. It was the Imperial Army garrison's responsibility to secure the landing area, not hers. But now wasn't the time to quibble. The chase was on. Squat gray Imperial troop transports, loaded with stormtroopers, were already heading out the west gate. And she had more than that in mind.
Order the local authorities to put up roadblocks at every intersection. Keep them penned into high ground,
she called on the comlink.
Contact ground and satellite surveillance. Make sure we know where the vehicle is at all times.
And across the tarmac, far from the blast site, she saw something she did have direct control over. Two TIE fighters, parked and waiting.
Get those in the sky,
she called out to the spaceport chief.
Right away, Captain.
There were others with the saboteur,
Vidian said, looking back at officers heading for the TIEs.
That makes this a conspiracy. I want Skelly shot on sight. but bring the others to me.
Sloane hadn't gotten a good look at the two who'd been facing the hoverbus, and she doubted anyone else had. One of the traitors had shot out the one surveillance cam covering the area. That someone had known what he or she was doing. But Skelly should stand out, and they wouldn't get far in that monstrosity they were driving.
I want those renegades! She called out to the troopers. Now!
Chapter 30.
The way to control your fear of being on a ledge,
Master Balaba had said,
is not to think about it until you are off the ledge.
Even at the time, Kanan had thought the advice could go two different ways. Off the ledge could mean you were safely inside, or it could mean you were plummeting. A lot of Jedi adages seemed to have that problem. They always assumed everything would work out. Kanan wasn't assuming that at the moment. The underside of a landspeeder normally wouldn't have offered any clearance for a hanger-on, and the smooth ride, while designed for flight, had been little more than a landspeeder for years. Taking it more than a meter off the ground sent the whole thing wobbling crazily off axis to the left and right. Okadiah's drivers all knew that. But Skelly wasn't one of Okadiah's drivers.
Look out!
Kanan called forward to Hera as the machine lost altitude. Hera kicked her legs up before they brushed the mud-covered street below. Kanan, taller, felt the front of his boots smack the surface. Kanan strained, pulling himself upward so he could get a second handhold. Ahead, he saw Hera nimbly swinging her leg upward to catch a hanging support strut. That wasn't an option for him, not with the whirling blades of the turbofan directly ahead. He had to shift his weight and reverse his handholds, turning himself around. Doing so, he saw the pursuers. Three Imperial troop transports hurtled up the dark lane in the hover bus's wake, occasionally slowed by oncoming traffic. Skelly wasn't bothered by the traffic at all, Kanan realized. Every few seconds, the vehicle slammed off something to the left or right, or pitched upward, having simply climbed over its obstacle. Kanan had to heave his body upward each time the machine came back down to keep from being scraped off. But there wasn't any choice except to hang on. Not with Imperials behind, and Hera in danger up ahead. When the first blaster shot from the twin cannon turret on the lead transport struck a few meters shy of the hoverbus, Kanan had had enough. Seeing a slight recess just inside the rear of the underchassis, he pitched his legs upward and caught his boots beneath the lower flange. That allowed him to reach off to a more secure handhold on the left, leaving the turbofan housing behind. With as much care as was possible in the whipping wind, Kanan felt around in the darkness, then began working his way backward across the smooth ride's bottom, feeling a bit like a Minok who'd lost suction. Groaning against the strain, he heaved his body across the opening of the recess to a place where he could cling just to the inside of the rear of the undercarriage. He waited there, breathing hard, as the hoverbus pitched and rolled. Waiting was excruciating, but he had to, for the right moment. Finally, it came. The hoverbus struck something hard on the left, causing it to tip almost onto its right side. Seeing air opening up between him and the ground racing beneath, Kanan rolled his body around and onto the rear bumper. This time, the smooth ride did slam against the ground when it righted itself, and Kanan began to fall backward, off the bumper. I've got you, Kanan! Kanan looked up, astonished. Someone did have him. Skelly was hanging out the shattered back window, his bionic right hand clasped around Kanan's belt. Skelly screamed in agony as Kanan scrambled over his shoulders and through the open pane. Kanan hit the back floor of the hoverbus, wheezing, but he couldn't stay. The hoverbus had struck the street. Anyone beneath would have been dislodged. We've got to go back for Hera, he called out. Then he blinked at Skelly,
Who's driving?
Before he got an answer, the smooth ride again bounced over something, sending Kanan sliding on his back up the aisle as the vehicle tipped downward. Upside down, next to the driver's seat, he looked up.
Sorry,
Hera said, grinning.
Still getting the hang of it. But welcome aboard.
Kanan rolled over and scrambled to his feet. He saw Skelly had somehow made it forward, clearly in great pain, but unable to rest. The shorter man was sitting in the stairwell of the open left doorway, his right arm wrapped around the support rail, while his other hand fished around in his bag. A moment later, Skelly slung a small pipe bomb out the door. The landspeeders parked along the left side of the street went up in an inferno that lit the area, upending them. The shockwave caught the rear section of the smooth ride, tipping the hoverbus halfway onto its right side as it hurtled toward an intersection. Kanan grabbed for the support post as Hera ably got control, using the momentum to take the vehicle down a side street. Skelly just grinned, showing teeth broken and blackened. He reached into his bag again.
Can you make him stop that? Hera called back.
Happily, Kanan said. He stepped over and yanked Skelly's satchel from him.
Hey!
Skelly said, reaching for it and nearly tumbling out the open door. Kanan grabbed him and immediately regretted it.
I should...
Before he could finish, blaster fire shattered the windows on the left side. Kanan ducked, trying to protect his head from the flying shards. Through the open door, he could see where the blasts were coming from. One of the recon transports, ambushing from a side street. A second later, the windows on the right exploded with fire coming from the opposite direction.
We're in a shooting gallery!
Kanan yelled. They had to get out of here. But that meant finding out where they were. Slinging the bag over his shoulder, he pulled his blaster and scrambled atop one of the seats. It was almost impossible, watching the world whizzing by in darkness. Okadiah had never gotten the vehicle's navigation system working. Who needed it for runs back and forth to the bar? But Kanan searched in desperation for any landmark.
There!
The odd shape of Transept's World Window Plaza, lit from within and without, as always, whisked past.
Go right! Kanan yelled. The old miner's highway! Let's make for the pits!
The smooth ride lurched. Hera barely slowed the vehicle, and yet somehow it easily made the turn onto the entrance ramp. The old elevated thoroughfare had the benefit of limited access. Now, rather than passing side streets with Imperial gunners, they were passing buildings and rooftops on either side. They were hemmed in, true, but there was very little traffic to run into on the highway anymore. And Hera opened up the throttle. Kanan scrambled off the seat and ran toward the back. The recon transports were racing along behind, he saw. He removed Skelly's bag from his shoulder. There were still close to a dozen improvised explosive devices inside. Now that they were out of traffic, the odds of doing more than random property damage with them were better. He called back to Skelly, still in the middle of the hoverbus.
How do I activate these?
Plug in the leads and let it rip!
Pulling out a cylinder not much longer than a shot glass, Kanan quickly snapped together the two loose wires attached to it. Looking back, he took aim. He hurled it out the rear window and watched as the jet wash took it, whisking it toward the oncoming Imperials. Fire blossomed before the lead recon transport. Beneath it, the highway structure, already stressed from years of quakes, shook violently. The first transport flipped, trying to avoid the blast, sending the stormtroopers riding outside it hurtling away. But that was better for them, as one after another the rear vehicles slammed into it.
Three for one!
Kanan yelled, pumping his fist.
We've got bigger problems,
Skelly yelled. Kanan looked forward, startled. He hadn't expected clear driving all the way ahead, but it was kilometers from another on-ramp.
There shouldn't be anyone out in front of us yet.
But before he could run forward to look, light blazed outside the left and right windows, blinding him. Feeling a sudden rush of heat, he realized it wasn't searchlights flooding the hoverbus, or small arms fire from the Imperials. A high whine passed overhead.
Is that...
Tie!
Hera yelled. The starfighter rocketed over them, a white bulb sandwiched between black hexagonal wings. Kane looked back to see the twin lights of its ion engines receding in the distance, only to feel the world move again as a second fighter, its level flight path perpendicular to the highway, began strafing them from above. Hera banked the smooth ride violently, sending her riders tumbling. There was no protection from the TIE's attack, except for the highway itself. The smooth ride's engines objecting, Hera tilted the hoverbus 90 degrees, riding not on the road surface, but rather the left retaining wall of the elevated highway. The TIE, which had been aiming low for its pass, found its cannon fire pummeling Duracrete rather than its intended target. Hera twisted the smooth ride back to level again. The TIE shrieked overhead and began to loop. And now the first attacker was back, rocketing up the highway toward them. This time, Hera slammed on the brakes, sending the hoverbus into a spin, and began racing back in the other direction. The maneuver closed the distance with the TIE that had been tailing them, such that its shots went harmlessly overhead. Kanan scrambled to his feet. Hera was the best driver he had ever seen, coaxing things he'd never imagined possible out of the smooth ride. But this couldn't go on, especially not as they were now racing back toward the recon transports, piled up and blazing. Something had to be done. Kanan ran forward to the front of the vehicle. Skidding to a stop, he dived to the floor right at Hera's legs.
"What do you think you're doing?"
Hera asked, bewildered. Kanan reached past her feet for something beneath the driver's seat.
"This thing used to fly, remember?"
He yanked loose a brown pack with straps on it. Okadiah's ancient parachute.
"You're jumping out on us?"
"Hardly."
Getting to his feet, Kanan looked to the ceiling amidships.
"Cut the throttle. When I give the signal, let loose."
He looked back.
"Skelly, I'm gonna need your help."
"Great."
Skelly looked at him tiredly.
"I'm going to need medication."
But he got to his feet. In the ceiling, at the exact center of the vehicle, was the emergency exit to the roof. Not a bad thing on a planet prone to quakes and mudslides. When Skelly reached him, Kanan was balanced on one of the seat backrests, trying to force open the rusty hatch.
"I need you to get up here and hold me."
The second TIE fighter was making a run along the highway's length when Kanan emerged on the roof. There was no good chance of simply throwing a bomb at it, he'd realized. The wind took him fully as he stood. Skelly had wedged himself in the opening behind Kanan and was holding onto the back of his belt. Kanan was facing down a TIE, which was racing toward him with its lasers ready to fire, while he had no weapon at all. But he had a plan.
"Hera! Now!"
Behind, Skelly yelled the call down to Hera. She hit the accelerator, just as Kanan activated the parachute. Attached to nothing, the drogue caught the wind fully and ballooned backward into the air, opening wide into the TIE fighter's path. The fighter veered right, only to find ropes and canvas snagging across its starboard solar panel. Tangled, tumbling, and blinded, the distracted starfighter pilot missed seeing the microwave tower in his path.
"Whoa,"
Kanan said, nearly losing his footing as the ship exploded spectacularly. One down. But there was the other one to go, he saw, as he turned to look forward. And between the hoverbus and the TIE fighter, Kanan saw the smoking pileup that had been the recon transports. His earlier dirty work lay before them, now a barrier. And if Hera tried to do another 180-degree turn, he feared he'd go flying. Worse still, there were stormtroopers on the deck of the highway, having emerged from the wreckage. Small arms fire was flashing, and they were racing straight toward it.
"Pull me back!"
Skelly wasn't in any shape to move Kanan anywhere, but he did lose his hold on the roof opening, falling down into the hoverbus, causing Kanan to tumble backward toward the hole. Catching himself, he struggled to turn himself around and lower his legs inside the hatch. He heard something from below.
"Hera says to hang on!"
Kanan, halfway in the hatch with both hands on the roof, blinked.
"Hera, what are you..."
Before he could finish the sentence, The hover bus barreled through the stormtroopers on the elevated pavement before them, sending several tumbling over the side. Sure that the hover bus would collide with the smoking wreckage, Kanan put his arm before his face and felt a tremendous surge beneath him as the hover bus struck the impediment. Struck it and overtopped it. Its repulsor lift jets using the debris as a makeshift ramp. The smooth ride launched into the air and came fully to life, its ancient engines remembering what they once had been able to do. Hera had made the vehicle fly. To the stunned surprise of Kanan, and certainly to the shock of the surviving TIE pilot, who veered to avoid collision, only to crash catastrophically into a smokestack. The smooth ride stayed aloft, leaving the elevated highway and buffeting over rooftops. Kanan couldn't believe his eyes. Slipping inside the roof opening, he landed roughly and rushed forward to Hera.
This thing hasn't flown in years. You've got to talk to it right, she said, smiling.
I thought I was a good pilot, but you, you're amazing.
Thank you, but we should probably go somewhere.
Kanan blinked.
Oh, yeah,
he pointed.
Back south. The pits, out near the cantina.
She glanced at him with concern.
We can't just drive up anywhere. They've got satellites. They'll find this thing. We'll have to find a place to ditch it.
That,
Kanan reassured her,
won't be a problem.
Chapter 31.
Words could change things. Kanan had been taught that by the Jedi, and it was certainly true when it came to a short document generated by Mindrax Consulting, which had changed the face of Gorse 4 years before the fall of the Republic. Thorolite mining in the system before then had taken place entirely on the surface of Gorse, in the wide, drenched plains south of the megalopolis. Then came Mindrax's survey, projecting that no more thorolite deposits of any scale remained on either side of the planet. By the time the mines started seeing proof of it, the smart credits had already moved, with producers establishing operations on Cinda. In the space of a year, the strip mines that came right up to the edge of town went from work zones under the big lights to dumping grounds in the dark. The last mine on Gorse closed the day the Clone Wars ended. So many of the places existed, Okadiah called them Gorse's clogged pores, that Kanan couldn't imagine a better place to hide the hoverbus. The endless junkyard was home to many abandoned craft, large and small, including several smooth rides. It was where Okadiah had found the thing to begin with. Kanan had realized it was the only place they could go, after this long and difficult day, to have any chance of following one of Obi-Wan's directives.
"Avoid detection," Kanan mumbled.
Sliding out from under the left side of the dashboard, Hera looked up at him.
What?
He leaned against the driver's seat.
Nothing, he shrugged. I was just thinking, so much for keeping a low profile.
Well, I may have killed your bus, Hera said, dousing her light. Forget flying. I don't think it'll run again.
Kanan watched her close the equipment panel. The hoverbus had so many dents and blaster scores, he was amazed the thing hadn't spontaneously combusted. Hera walked past the driver's seat, her arms sagging a little. She looked tired.
I don't think I've ever had a day like this.
Stick around Gorse, Kanan said, following her down the aisle. Every day's a trip to the zoo.
Hera confronted Skelly, who was two rows back, nursing his wounds. Her tone was chilly.
What could you possibly have been thinking?
Skelly stared off in a medicinal haze.
My escape route was all planned. Your hover bus was in the way.
In the way of what?
Kanan asked.
Careening into the wall instead?
That's not it, Hera said. I mean taking us down a main avenue and then throwing bombs willy-nilly. You are almost a bigger menace than the Empire.
Skelly looked hurt.
I'm trying to save people here. I tried to minimize casualties.
You sound like you're in a war, Kanan said.
I am, Skelly said. It's never ended.
He waved his prosthetic hand around. Hera shook her head, and then she turned away.
Vidian killed Gord. I saw it.
Kanan nodded. I guess he couldn't live without Lal.
He wanted justice,
Hera said in a soft voice, staring at the wall.
But expecting the Empire to prosecute one of its own is...
dumb,
Skelly said, looking abruptly at her. Hera shook her head.
I was going to say something we have a right to expect, which is why people are having second thoughts about the Empire. It's not here to help you. It only exists to help itself.
Boy, that's right, Skelly said, rubbing his forehead. I sure got that Vidian wrong.
Kanan thought that was a whole different subject, and that the time for talking was past. The thing now was to get moving, before the Empire put search vessels into the air. Come on, he said to her. We're not far from the asteroid belt. We can decide what to do from there. She didn't respond. Reaching for her arm, he waved to Skelly. You wanted the hover bus, Skelly? Keep it. We're gone.
Wait, Hera said. You're just going to leave him?
Wrong. We're going to leave him, if you're smart. I don't think anyone saw you and me clearly at the spaceport, but everybody saw him. And that woman and her surveillance firm? Their cams are all over the city. How long do you really want to hang around here? Hera frowned.
But he's injured.
Which he did to himself. Kanan looked her in the eye. I'm not sure what you're trying to accomplish, but whatever it is, this guy isn't going to help you. She looked at him for several seconds. For a moment, Kanan thought she was going to make a decision. And then, he heard the thumping. It was amidships, coming from the closet-sized restroom compartment. The doorframe had bent slightly as a result of the day's damage to the hover bus, and a sliver of an opening had appeared. As he approached, the pounding grew louder.
I know we're in a dump, Skelly said, but that's the biggest rodent I've ever heard.
Puzzled, Kanan walked to the rear and located a pry bar. Hera and Skelly gathered near the door as he returned. This door always jams, Kanan said, and locks itself, and worse. Okadiah spent his summer vacation in there once. He shoved the bar edge into the aperture and pushed. Something snapped.
The door popped open, and a very tired Celestin fell out.
Zaluna? Zaluna Miter rolled on the floor, gasping and clutching her bag.
Air.
She looked frazzled. She was wearing the same dark clothing from the night before, Kanan saw. Skelly looked at her in wonder.
Were you in there all this time?
Through the bashing and the blasting,
she said, her throat dry.
The silly door's too thick. You couldn't hear me.
Zaluna looked up at Hera and Kanan with relieved recognition. Then her eyes fixed on Skelly.
You?
Skelly looked confused as the woman recoiled, sliding backward on the aisle floor.
What's the deal? I don't know you. How do you know me?
You're the bomber,
Zaluna said, big eyes growing improbably wider.
I ran the surveillance cam that got you arrested.
Skelly blinked.
You what?
Realizing what she said, he rocked forward on his seat toward her.
You what?
Zaluna fished in her bag and pulled out her blaster.
Keep him away from me!
Kanan slapped his hands on Skelly's shoulder and pushed him back. He's not going to hurt you. He has beatings 1 through 7 coming from me first.
3 through 7, Skelly
said.
Vidian got me first. And you gave me beating number one back on the moon yesterday!
He glared at Zelluna.
Did you see that, too?
Yes,
Zelluna said, looking down.
I don't think Kanan should have hit you.
Thanks,
Kanan said. He shrugged to Hera.
See what I get for helping?
Zelluna put